Luke chapter 6, title of the message tonight is The Importance of Rest. The importance of rest. Some of you are going, yeah, that's right. Isn't it interesting? I'm preaching a message about the importance of rest when I got up at 5 o'clock, up at 3 literally, and then finally got out of bed at 5. This is number 14 in the Healing Example series. And I'll tell you this, as men and women in the body of Christ, we need to have our faith being built in certain areas. A number of you have had attacks in your physical bodies or have loved ones that have been attacked in their physical bodies. And I want to say this, that your faith needs to grow in the area of receiving your healing and your well-being. Amen. It needs to grow. You can never have too much faith. That's very, very important. You can never have too much faith. Luke chapter 6, and we'll begin reading there in just a moment. We're going to talk about the man with the withered hand again tonight. That was healed, and you remember that. Let's look at in Luke 6 in just a moment, but let me say this and preface everything that we're going around and going to talk about tonight with this. God is interested in bringing health to its fullness in your bodies. He always has been, always will be. It is God's will that you walk in divine health. Do you realize that? Now, healing is, the scripture calls it the children's bread. Healing is for you, but there is a better way to go than needing healing. It's better to never need to be healed. It would be better just to get stronger and healthier and stronger and healthier as you go. And somebody say, well, as you get older, you just get weak. And that can happen. You know what? I'm seeing it with my 95-year-old mother these days. You know, when she cracked her leg back in, what was that, January, whenever it was. And she was off her feet for 6 weeks. 95 years old, mind you. She was going to therapy before that and getting stronger as she did it. Then that 6 weeks set her back a little bit. You know, she had that surgery business with the aorta thing, the valve replacement. And then that kind of set her back. She got back on the exercises now. They've got her doing these exercises, and she uses these a rubber band thing and does, you know, various exercises. 95 years old. I see difference in her. She's getting stronger. I'm telling you. You can revive in your body your strength if you feel like you're losing it. But most people just, they go, well, you know, I'm just getting old. And with getting old comes decrepitness. Boy, I would strike that from my vocabulary. I would not be talking like that. I tell you what, you don't want to end up there. I told you a story about the lady that time that told me, you know, one of these days I'll end up going crazy because my mom went crazy, my grandma went crazy. And she did. She did. Would have been mild compared to the way she acted when I walked in the door of the nursing home where she was at. It would have scared a lot of people, the way she looked and the way she acted. And this was a very eloquent lady. She was a lady. And I knew her, and I loved her. And I loved her when she was in the state I found her, you know. Over the years, how things had gone downhill, the last time I saw her, because I ended up doing her funeral, the last time I saw her, she was holding a little plastic baby and kissing it. And then she'd look at you and come out with some of the most horrific sounds. There was an evil spirit involved. And I want to tell you something, that her mouth, the confession of her lips, was that one of these days, I'm going to go crazy just like my mom did, just like my grandma. That would flow out of her like, hey, how you doing? Now, she's in heaven. She knew Jesus. She did. But she had a lot of years of confessing that and believing that. And in time, it manifested. And she ended up not knowing anybody when she went on to be with the Lord. I did her husband's funeral, and I want to say she was still okay at that time. And then it kind of took a dive. But that doesn't have to be the case with us. I'm telling you, it doesn't. I tried to get that across to her, but she would not address the words of her mouth. I said, you really need to reverse this thing. You need to start saying what God says about you, not the way it is appearing or what has happened in the past. See, what was going on was she was expecting to go crazy someday. And that's exactly what happened. So I think that getting our expectations aligned with the Word is very, very important. What has been provided by grace for you and I has to be appropriated, how? By faith. What's provided by grace has to be appropriated by faith. And faith is not static, brothers and sisters. It's not just going to stay in one place. It's not just going to remain this way in my life. Oh, I'm not hearing the word or I'm not doing the word. I've reached this level and I'll stay there. No, you won't. You're either going to be growing or waning in faith. You're either going to increase or you're going to be slipping back. And what happens when your faith starts to get low? That's when the term backsliding, isn't it amazing? You're not sliding forward in the things of God. A lot of people think that you can slide forward. You know, the greasy grace thing? Yahoo! I can't slide on this thing, but slide. If I could moonwalk. But what happens? People start sliding backwards, slipping backwards. All along, they thought they could just remain at the level that they reached. It's kind of like when you're sitting at a stoplight, and have you ever had the illusion of you think you're sliding backwards? Huh? Yeah, I've had that too. It's crazy. Jam on the brakes, and you realize it's not you, I don't know how that applies to your life, but it was an interesting illustration. But faith is not static. It's either growing or waning. I'll tell you this. It's determined by what you're hearing. It's determined by what you're feeding on, whether or not you're growing in the Word. I started this year with devotions from Kenneth E. Hagin. I love Brother Hagin. I mean, he was the first teacher that I heard after I was born again. And he and Brother Copeland, but Brother Hagin was first. And I know Brother Hagin's with Jesus, and praise God for it. But I've been reading a lot about healing and health. And I am determined in my body to walk in divine health. So make that your determination for this year as well. Walk in divine health. I would rather never need to be healed. I would rather that we never need to ever have a prayer line again in this church. If you really want to, I mean, that would be ideal, wouldn't it? But if a person needs healing, I don't want to make them feel like, you're just not quite up to snuff because you need hands laid on you. That's a lie of the enemy. That's not true. And that's not the way I think. I want to lay hands on somebody if they need hands laid upon them. I've needed hands laid upon myself a few weeks ago at prayer. I had wrenched, what did I do? My back? Was it my back? I forget what it was. And a few Sundays ago, I had a little back issue after shoveling a bunch of rock. Imagine that. But, as believers, we need to be very, very cautious of what we're hearing. Now, faith comes by hearing, correct? Romans 10, verse 17. But did you realize, and I'm sure you do, I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here tonight, but fear comes by hearing too. Fear comes by hearing. Bad news feeds fear. You sit around and watch the news these days, first off, you're going to get mad for what you're seeing going on in this nation. All of the reversals of policies that, and the attacks against the church, let's not even go down that road right now. But I really believe that if you sit and watch that stuff, you're going to get, I do anyway, if I look at it, I'm like, man, I don't even want to see it. But I don't want to bury my head in the sand either. I want to be aware of what's going on. So I peruse, you know, just kind of scan over the headlines. And I can do that actually on my phone. I have a good app that I can do that with. But bad news will feed fear. You know, there are people going, hey, Pastor Dan, we're going to lose our Second Amendment rights. And I just say, no, we're not. In the name of Jesus. We're not going to lose our First Amendment rights. We're not going to lose this stuff. We're not going backwards, brothers and sisters. It may appear that way right now, but it's an illusion. I will say that. So if you are one who's talking about your problem and you're doing that more than you are hearing the word that will build your faith to the point where you can overcome that problem, if all you're ever doing is talking to that problem, guess what's going to happen? The fear in your life will increase. It'll make your belief in how bad the situation is grow. Do you hear me? It's kind of like in the reverse, where you want to hear the word and your faith grows and you begin to have more confidence and expectation that God's working on your behalf. Well, when all you do is talk about the problem all the time, it causes the fear that is out there, and that's what the enemy loves to do. It causes that to increase, and you become more and more and more convinced in the negative or in the opposite of what God's word says. And you don't mean to. I mean, people, Christians don't mean to do that, but that's how that happens. That's how that plays out when you're talking the problem all the time, constantly talking the problem, constantly talking about how bad it is in my life, whatever, you know. So we need to be very, very cautious of that as well. And I'm preaching to myself here too. Don't ever think I'm just preaching at you. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to you and including me in the whole thing. I can preach this stuff because I've been tempted in all of these same things. And I've given in to them from time to time, you know, with your thoughts and your words. And you say something that you shouldn't say. And you don't anymore want that to come to pass, but you've been thinking on it, you said it. We need to be very, very cautious of these things. The more and more convinced that you become regarding the situation of how impossible it appears, the enemy will come in and just reinforce that. Yeah, and there's no way to fix it. But I want to tell you something. We worship a God who can fix anything. We have a God who lives on the inside of us that can fix anything. Do you hear me? He can fix anything. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. With God, all things are possible. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Sure. But you are going to have to hear something other than the problem. You're going to have to hear something other than the problem that you're facing. You can't be talking about that day in and day out and expect your faith to grow. You're going to have to be talking about something else. And the thing that you need to be talking about and talking is the word of God. Amen. Amen. So how do you do that? Well, I would start by speaking the things that you are well-versed in. You're saved, right? Knowing that you're saved, you're born again, and even filled with the Holy Spirit, you have covenant rights. You've heard that. If you've heard it one time, you've heard it 1,000 times. You have covenant rights. So start there. Start, you know, I have covenant rights. When I resist the devil, he has to flee from me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. When I pray, God moves. Sure. When you pray in faith, the answer is right there. If you take a petition, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, when you pray, you know God hears you. If you know God hears you, you know that you have the petition that you desire of him. When you ask in faith, of course. But you just start where you're at. You know that the Bible is very plain about healing. With his stripes, you were healed. You know that. You may not know all of the scriptures that you need to know. Does anybody? I mean, if there's a person who knows every scripture that they ever need to know, well, I'll just tell you right now, there's nobody like that. Nobody. We need to know all of this word. We need the full counsel of God. And so for us to sit back and go, well, I've got all this. I've got all. No, 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 no. The riches of Christ, and you've read it in the word yourself, they are unsearchable. The riches are unsearchable. If you're going to progress in your walk as a believer, you need to continue to dig into the depths of the word of God and do it consistently. Don't just do it once in a great while. Do it consistently. So it's very, very important that you start with the things that you know. And that's one way to reinforce your foundation as a believer when you start quoting things from the scriptures that you know. Go to scriptures that you're comfortable with, that you have some revelation on, and begin there. And make it a habit in your life to start saying the things that God says about you. I mean, I've said this to the prayer group many, many times. Whenever I hear Roe v. Wade, what's the next word that I think after that? Overturned. That's the next word. When I hear Roe v. Wade, overturned. I've been calling that overturned for years. And we're finally starting to see some movement there. Amen. They passed a bill and made abortions illegal in Arkansas just recently. And there are other states starting to fall in line. And you watch. Overturned. We call it overturned. It was Frank Duvall the other night or other day. He put a post on Facebook, and I quoted to him out of the book of Proverbs, one of the seven things that God hates are hands that shed innocent blood. And abortion is the shedding of innocent blood, and God hates that. And you can't, it's her choice. No, it's her choice whether to have relations or not. It's not her choice to kill the baby that was conceived. No, period, no. But for too many believers who get caught up in this whole process of looking at the problem, they begin to reinforce the problem in their life by repeating how bad it is. And then they'll snap out of it for a second and say, oh yeah, but here's what the word says. You know what? You have to just decide in yourself this day, I'm not going there and reinforcing the problem anymore. I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it. I don't care if you have to put a piece of tape over your mouth. Somebody ought to get tape with scripture on it, you know. The tongue of the wise is health, you know. And put that piece of tape over your mouth with that scripture written on it. People look at you like, what? Mm-hmm. What? Well, you're trying to say I'm healthy because I'm keeping my mouth shut about the problems that are, trying to attack me. Oh, my. Yeah. But that will reinforce your problem if all you're ever doing is talking about the things that are going wrong. Let's start saying what the Lord says about you. Here's what a lot of folks end up doing. They give a snack for their spirit and a feast for their flesh. The spirit gets a little snack. You get a little snack, little bit out of the promise box. And your flesh gets whatever it wants. Now you, listen, you cannot let your flesh have anything and everything that it wants. Your flesh will go down to the corner and buy a six-pack. And I'm not talking Dr. Pepper, although it'll do that too. It'll go to a movie it shouldn't go to. Your flesh is not renewed in the things of God. That fleshly nature is directly tied to the unrenewed mind, and that unrenewed mind runs contrary to the things of God. Can I hear an amen? It does. That's why when you sit there and you go, wow, I'm born again. I'm even filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet that all of a sudden I had this urge to do something I shouldn't do. Think ways I shouldn't think. I thought that was all in the past. You've got a flesh that you need to continue to put down. I'm saying this. It's kind of like when once you start dieting and you start getting your physical body under control, you can do that same thing regarding desires and things that the enemy has used in your life for years. You can beat it. How do you Yeah, I know you don't want to kill something, but if you wanted to, if you wanted to kill something, there's a way that you can do it very easily. Now, hear me out. I don't mean this to be, you know, wrong the way it's coming out. If you don't feed it, it won't live. Amen. We could just say that if I don't eat and I go 50 days without eating anything, yeah, there's a good chance I'll die, right? And if I didn't, that'd be a bag of bones. That would be on death's doorstep. You have to eat. But what you eat is important. How much you eat is important. But you can't let things of the flesh rule you. Your belly can't rule you. So nobody's going to do that for you. Nobody is going to do that for you. You have to make a decision and then say, okay, Lord, I need some real help here because my flesh is screaming. But too much of the time, Christians are just giving into their flesh instead of holding it accountable and saying no to your flesh. It'd be a good thing to say no to your flesh the next time it craps up. Amen. All right, let's go to Luke 6. Let's read this here. And verse 1, it said, "And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields." You remember this. "And his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have you not read so much as this, what David did when he himself was a hungered, and they which were with him? How he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. And he said unto them, That the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Now, the next verse, and it picks up there, talking about the man with the withered hand, and it came to pass. Now, here's this incident about the Sabbath. It's there in this chapter here. It plays out about the healing of this man with the withered hand. You'll find it in other places of Scripture. The Pharisees and Sadducees, the doctors of the law, were very big on keeping the Sabbath, and one of the rules was you couldn't work. And they were, what are they doing on the Sabbath? They're out there plucking ears of corn or wheat. Some of the versions say wheat, and rubbing it in their hands and eating it. They were hungry. That's work. You know, it's like, okay. But they were real legalistic about it. And Jesus confronts this on a number of fronts, a number of occasions throughout his ministry. Because the legalism, the letter, which the Bible says kills, but the Spirit is the one who gives life, they couldn't see the difference. That's why he brings up that fact that, you know, if you had an animal caught in a ditch on the Sabbath, would you not go and get it out? How many would free an animal that was caught? Even if it wasn't yours, you would. Sure you would. Okay, hey, you deserve it. It's Sabbath day. I can't work. No, you would help that animal. It's just a poor, defenseless animal. You know, whatever. And so the woman, there's another time with a woman that had a problem, and they didn't want her to be healed on the Sabbath day. This man with the withered hand didn't want him to be healed on the Sabbath day. They didn't care about that person. They cared more about the legality of it all. And what they couldn't see was that God cares about the person. God cares about the person. But we're going to look at this Sabbath thing quickly, and I want you to realize that this whole thing about the Sabbath that we see in the Scriptures goes all the way back to Genesis 2. So let's just run back there quickly. Genesis 2, and Sabbath, you know, means rest. It literally means rest, but it also means refreshing. And so there is a tie there to a rest and refreshing that the Father God actually experienced. In verse number 1, "Thus the heavens and the earth," this is Genesis 2, verse 1, "thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, or finished. The word for finished there in verse 1 and the word for ended in verse 2, where it says, on the seventh day, God ended his work. Those are both the same words in Hebrew. Kala. And it's the same word that Jesus used on the cross, or a form of it, when Jesus said, he cried out, it is finished. That's the same word that he would have used. Kala or kula. That was what he said. And what it means is complete. It's done. No more to be done. Do you hear me? No more. Get that. No more to be done. Finio. The Greek word is teleo. Comes from a word tetelestai, which is a banking term that meant paid in full, finished, debt paid. Now, a lot of people make stuff up about what happened there, and like there was a further debt that had to be paid, and it's like, man, it's just a lack of understanding of covenant when the blood was shed, that done, okay? Now, it had to be presented after he raised up from the dead. That's why he told Mary, don't touch me. But anyway, this is interesting here to me. The Sabbath is a day of rest, and it's also a sanctified, set-apart day that is to be holy, and it is supposed to be different from the other days, right? Look, it says, and God blessed the seventh. Well, let's go back and read 2 again. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested, there it is, on the seventh day. That word rested is the Hebrew word shabbath, and we get the word Sabbath from it. He rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, separated it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. Well, there you go. So he set the form out. Here's how it's going to go. I did this creation in 6 days. On the seventh day, I rested. And so he made that for people as well, to honor that. And okay, let's just go find that right quick. In Exodus chapter 31, go over there. We're just going to touch on these and go. Exodus 31, this rest is very, very important. And it's also, of course, we're going to find the New Testament, a type. This in the Old Testament is a type of which something in the New Testament is the antitype or the fulfillment. In Exodus 31, verse number 13, was it read, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. This is what the Pharisees and Sadducees were standing on, the doctors of the law. This is what they're saying. Verse 14 says, you will be put to death if you work on the day that you're supposed to be resting. Now, go, jump on down to verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested. And look at the latter end of that verse, last phrase, and was refreshed. And was refreshed. He set it as a pattern for us to follow. And in the word, we see that there's a seventh year that they could plant all 6 years, and in the seventh year, they gave the land a rest, right? You remember that? Absolutely. And they weren't supposed to work themselves for that whole year. The animals even caught a break and didn't have to work. That's pretty neat. That's in Exodus 23, verse 10 through verse 12. You can read it if you like. But get this. The land was supposed to rest. Give the land some rest. The seventh year. Let me ask you this. What are you made out of? Land, right? Huh? Come on, dirt. You talk about dirt bags? I mean, literally, we're a bag of dirt. Every one of us. I don't want to be a dirt bag. It's too late. God created you out of the afar, out of the dust of the earth. Hey, it is what it is, you know. So, and he knows how to fix the dirt and get things ordered back aright when some things go wrong. Do you hear me? He's God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So here's the thing about that, though. They were supposed to rest the whole year on that seventh year. That for some people, that's just like, oh my goodness. You know, there are those today that can never take a break from work. Gotta work, gotta work. Gotta make money. I'm like, wow. You know, and come on, I could never just skip a day of work. I've got to work and into the wee hours of the morning. I'm like, hold it. You need some rest. You're going to burn yourself out. You burn the candle at both ends, what eventually happens? They come together and they burn out, right? Yeah. But a person that, you know, and with our electronic devices, you can sit in your bed, you go to bed at night, and there are people that work in bed, for crying out loud. All I'm working as a good night's rest when I go to bed, man. As is, no more of that. But I will lay there and pray. So if that's working, whatever. It's not. But the fact is, people get this idea. I could never take a day off of work. I need to work hard. I need to make as much as I can. You know what? They don't understand who their source is. They think they're their own source. Amen. Yep. Wow. They say, well, as a business owner, as an employee? Well, there are people that are employees that will stay at the business and work overtime trying to impress, trying to stay in there and do all this work and sacrificing their families and time with their families. It's not worth it. You need the rest. The rest is important. God said it that way. It's supposed to be that way. So all I can say is if you're not getting rest, your immunity is going to drop. I'll tell you what, the only times I've ever experienced any kind of sickness in my body, and normally it would just be a cold. I've had a sore throat a time or two, you know, through the years. Or the cough when I got the convertible. I remember I drove it and it was like 50 degrees out. And it's summer, you know, I can put the top down. I had a cough, and that stupid thing hung on for about 2 or 3 weeks. I was like, and I'm kicking myself, you know. I knew I shouldn't have done that, but I did it anyway. When your body gets tired, your immunity drops. In this whole COVID thing, one of the things that hasn't been preached enough is that whole case of immunity. David, Holly, and I were talking about this the other day, and immunity is huge. If your body's strong, your immunity will stay up, and it'll fight off germs. Now, that's the way that works. You can argue with the doctors about that if you like. I'm not going to argue with you about it. Because I know when any time I have ever contracted anything, it's when my immunity dropped, my resistance fell. Not enough sleep, not enough rest. And it's that way in the spirit as well. It's that way in the spirit. If you're not getting enough rest and refreshing, golly, you need to get into the Word, but you need those times of just resting before the Lord. I don't mean sleeping before the Lord. I'm not talking about that. Resting in Him. Go over to Colossians 2 quickly, and I'll just get these other two places of Scripture in, and we'll go. But in Colossians 2, there's a verse of Scripture I want to show you and then tie it into quickly to Hebrews chapter 4. I don't want to keep you too long. Colossians 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The Sabbath days are a shadow of things to come. Hebrews 4 explains it. Let's jump over there quickly. Hebrews 4 explains it. And here's where we will wrap it up tonight. The man with the withered hand, I haven't gotten to him yet. we're not gonna get to him tonight, I guess. We'll get to him next week. All right, when you read chapter 4, you need to tie it into chapter 3 because it was talking about Israel and how God was not pleased with Israel, and they did that 40 years out in the wilderness thing, and they sinned, and they could not enter in, verse 19, because of unbelief. So he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, let us therefore fear or reverence, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Just make a note on verse 3. It was not God's will that Israel ever go 40 years out in the wilderness wandering around like they did. Those works were finished. It was God's will from the beginning that Israel get out of the bondage of Egypt, leave the taskmasters, go into Canaan, and have rest. That was his will, but they got into unbelief, did they not? You can just tie it right back into chapter 3. That's what happened. That's what happened to Israel. And I'm telling you, if you and I don't step up into those areas of rest in our own lives, oh yeah. You know, when you cast your care on the Lord, that puts you in a place of rest. You're struggling. Cast the care over on him. I had somebody say to me the other day, well, it's not always the easiest thing, Pastor Dan. I said, I know that. And the enemy will make sure that you feel that pressure. What are you feeding on? What are you feeding on? You got to keep feeding on the word. Amen. You got to keep hearing the right things so your faith can grow, not your belief in how bad things can be and get. So I know, I mean, it's like, hey, I'm talking to me tonight. I'm dealing with some stuff right now that I have to address, not physically, I don't mean that. But, you know, in our lives as believers, you're going to be confronted. The enemy's not going to let you walk through this life without ever being, everything's free for you. You don't ever have to fight. Not true. Verse 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Why was Jesus upset at those people that came against the man with the withered hand of getting healed? The hardness of their hearts. Their hearts were hard. For if Jesus had, as actually Joshua, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remains, therefore, look at this, a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let's just tie it up right here with this. This rest is a type of the rest that you and I have in Christ Jesus. And he has provided for us. Go ahead, stand to your feet. He has provided for us. You don't want to get to that place where you're not giving in to the rest in him. You need to find rest in Christ. You need to meditate on the scriptures. That gives you rest. The living water. I mean, he's going to refresh you with living water. Thank you. Sure. Rest and refreshing. It's a constant thing that you and I have to take time and make time to do. You want to walk in divine health? Not only do you need the physical rest from time to time, but you need the spiritual rest. Man, I'll tell you what. Walking in spiritual rest, it's a wonderful place to be. And it starts with casting the care over on the Lord. If you don't cast the care on the Lord, you'll hold on to that care, and that care will pull you down. Absolutely, it'll pull you down, and your fear will grow, and your faith will wane. You don't want that. You cast your cares over on the Lord. Cast them on the Lord. That rest and refreshing. I've cast my care on the Lord. I'm standing in faith. You know, I've said it before. I can't heal anybody. You can't heal anybody. So we're going to have to trust God to do the healing. Amen? You can't, do the things that God does. So you might as well cast the care over on him and leave it there and let him work. Can I hear an amen? It's the truth. It's the absolute truth. And it's something that you and I can walk in. So, all right, bow your heads. Let's have a word of prayer. I've got a couple of prayer requests here. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you tonight that we are yours, your kids, and we will walk after your ways. And one of the things that you did was on the seventh day, you rested. So you gave us an example of how we are to live. And we are to take time to rest. Rest not only in the natural, but rest in the spiritual as well. And so we thank you tonight and praise you tonight for the refreshing that is ours. As we seek your face, as we live for you, as we worship and adore you, sir, we give you the glory tonight and the thanksgiving and all of the honor that is due your name. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, we pray. And our confession is we will rest in Jesus' name. Worry steals rest. Can't worry. Remember Peter when he was going to have his head cut off in the morning and he just decided, I'm going to sleep. God's going to have to deal with it. Why should I lose a good night's rest? Oh, yeah, well, because you're going to lose your head in the morning. Well, if that's what's going to happen, God's going to have to take care of it. And that's exactly what happened. Praise God.